Welcome to another edition of the Untold Patriots Stories podcast with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher, where you'll hear stories told by the players and media members.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Untold Patriot Stories. I'm Scott Prusak with Dave Usher. And tonight we have with us the co-owner of New England Pitcher, Jeff. Jeff, well, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And we're doing something a little different for the fans with the holidays coming up. We wanted to give you an idea of what you can get that Patriots fan in your life, if you still have one, still have somebody that is a fan of the Patriots. But Dave, why don't you kick off the podcast?
I mean, obviously, we've attended a lot of your events at New England Picture. You do a great job there. But I guess the first thing, just wondering how you got into it. Do you collect yourself? Give us a little background.
Okay, a little background. We were a specialty retailer at the malls. I don't know. We had t-shirt shops at the beaches in the summer, and we started in the specialty, which the kiosks in the center of the mall. Back in, we're talking early 90s, very early, late 80s, early 90s. And there was a guy next to us that was framing pictures. He only had aerial pictures of the stadiums. Mm-hmm. So he thought it was a good idea for us to try, because he did other aerial photography. He thought it was a good idea for us to give it a try up in New Hampshire, because we were working next to him at the North Shore Mall at the time. And we gave it a shot. It was terrible. It was awful. So we went into what we loved, sports, of course. So we started to bring in sports pitchers and framing them. Well, back in the early 90s, no one framed sports pitchers. It was plaques. Everybody did plaques. Yeah. So we thought, why doesn't some guy with an office, why doesn't he have a picture of Fenway Park on his wall or Gillette? Well, at the time, it wasn't Gillette Stadium.
Right.
At the time, it was really not much going on with the Patriots.
So like now.
That's how we got started and rolling into the pitcher end of it. And for a few years, we would frame pitchers. We did well, and mostly during the Christmas times at the malls. It was a great gift for Christmas. A wife would pick up a sports pitcher for her husband, and worked out really well. And then as time went on into the later 90s, people kept asking us, oh, geez, that would be nice if that was autographed. Mm-hmm. That's how we slowly started getting into the autograph part of it. Of the business. And it just kept, you know, one foot in front of the other, just kept snowballing from there. And it seems our other businesses just went by the wayside, and we went, you know, deeper into sports.
Okay.
During the 90s, I don't know if you realize this, if you went to the mall, I mean, and the malls were packed in the 90s. They were everything. There was no internet. There was no that you wanted something sports in the mall. You had to buy a picture from us. There was no other. There was nothing.
Yeah. I remember that.
I mean, there was no, you know, it took the Red Sox in 04 to really change that. Then it was licensed everything. They would have whole kiosks with just licensed slippers and you name it. They throw a Red Sox or a Patriot logo on it. And so, that's how, you know, and then, it, you know, people realized that sports was much bigger and, you know, but we did well in the 90s when the teams were losing. We did, you know, maybe because we were the only game in town, but I think that people just were craving sports. They, even though you were losing, you still loved the team.
Right.
You still, you know, I'll tell you what, like the Patriots, what they're doing right now, I want them to be competitive. I like to see a competitive game. I don't want them to win, right? Do you want them to go 8-8 or do you want them to go, you know, get a better draft capital for next year.
Better draft capital. Yep.
You know?
So that's how New England Pitcher was born. That's how you come up with the name then, New England Pitcher, for all the pitchers you offer?
Yes. The pitchers, obviously we're all New England, everything. You know, we had all the photos, all the different photographs of New England.
Yep.
When we started, the aerial shots of all the stadiums, and that's how it just continued, you know. I don't know if you remember the Braley collection. They had, you know, they had the original negative of like Bobby Orr flying through the air, and you know,
yeah, these a lot of old Red Sox, and yeah,
we partnered with them on a lot of stuff and brought in a lot of their photography to frame up and, you know, get it going. And that was a big part of us, our early success.
Remember who your first Patriot signing was?
Oh boy. Well, the first one at the mall was Adam Vinatieri.
All right. So that leads me into my next question. So 2001-2002 season, Vinatieri kicks that field goal, Patriots win the Super Bowl. How did that change your business?
That was phenomenal. we couldn't keep the snow kick. You just couldn't keep in stock. It was insane. It was insane. It was great. Great. Loved it. The fans, you know, just ate it up. It just.
So yeah. the next day, were they looking for stuff? The day after the Super Bowl, were they calling you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. No matter what you had, anything with a Patriot, any Patriot you could sell at that point.
So what was that signing like with Vinatieri? How many people? I mean, was the line huge?
Yes, that's where the malls, just the lines, never-ending lines. That's where, you know, the upper deck of the mall, the people overhanging, looking from the rafters, and it's just insane. Thousands of people showing up for every sign-in back then. It was new, too. It was new to them. It wasn't, the players, memorabilia, autograph signs really started in the late 80s. Yeah. I mean, people would get, that's when people started buying the memorabilia, and people would be paying the players to come in. And, that's basically the start of it. There was the 70s and early 80s. There was no memorabilia companies it was, you know, brand new thing.
It wasn't really till Upper Deck Authenticated, like you said, I think late 80s kind of came out with those catalogs and charged exorbitant prices and got the big names. But then it sort of went to the masses.
Yes, I was talking to this gentleman from New York, Mike Bertolini. He was Joe Montana's guy for memorabilia and whatnot. Whatever you want an appearance with Joe, you had to go to Mike Bertolini. Well, he was telling me about a show he did in the late 80s. He was one of the first ones to really do. He did Willie Mick and the Duke.
Oh, wow.
In Atlantic City. He was telling me he invested. He had everything, every nickel he owned, he invested in this show. And he didn't know how it was going to go because nobody did it before. It was new. And he said he looked out the show. It was like 9 o'clock. It was supposed to really get going. And he looked out at 8:20. It was nobody. Nobody. Oh, and then he said 8:40, he looked out, and it looked like the Pardon of the Red people were just streaming in. And that 20 minutes, he said it. The change was unbelievable, and they he was one of the pioneers. He just passed away. I say that too. He just passed away last week.
Rest in peace.
In New York, in his sleep, or
So I would suffice to say, he was probably happy that he did that signing. He probably had some pretty big pockets after that.
Oh yeah, he's quite a character. I sent him up to Phil, our buddy over at Sports World, for some Gene Ritel a little while back.
Okay.
It was pretty funny listening to those two.
So when you talk about all the people you've had in, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be Patriots, but who do you think you've had the best turnout for, the biggest line?
Oh boy. I think Gronk probably. Was one of them. We usually cut tickets off at 500. So it's hard to know past that because we shut them off.
Right? Yeah.
Our biggest numbers of tickets was Mike Tyson.
Oh, wow. That wasn't too long ago, right?
Yeah, not too long ago at the Braintree store. Not the sign-in that just happened at the the Altman Shriner.
Well, before that.
We were partners in that, but we did one. It was supposed to happen right when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And we had to cancel it for a year. And then when we finally did the show, it was unbelievable. It was insane. Yeah, that was, you know, but then Gronk, for Patriots, Gronk definitely, we shut tickets at 500 because it was a, you know, like, where do you, we got to get him out of here.
Right.
You know, the old days, guys would stay.
Oh, yeah. Now it's every minute they stay, they want more money. So, right.
Oh, yeah. The price back then, they, you know, they would shake your hands. They would sign whatever you want. You good, be happy, yeah. You know. Couple $1,000. Now you're looking at, you know, six figures and they're turning it down.
Well, it's funny you say that, how just even how much signings have changed over the years. I mean, when signings first started, there was no such thing as a premium and inscription, right? It was just come in and sign whatever, right? Now everything is so different.
Yeah, no premiums, no, you know, now the agents know every, you know, they count the letters on the inscriptions. They do.
Times have changed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the money, you know, the players make more, so now they want more.
Yep.
Their team is worth more. Where it's, you know, I don't know where that's headed when you see in Jaylen Brown making $60 million and, you know, where's that going to end in our industry? You know, where's that? Are they going to still want to sign autographs for us at that point for the collectors?
Yeah. True.
So we mentioned your store in the South Shore Plaza in Braintree. And we know you've got a big warehouse in Manchester, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Where else can folks find you?
We're at the Burlington Mall, Burlington, mm-hmm. Burlington Mall. We've been there for 20 something years. The Mall of New Hampshire in Manchester also, to be confused with our warehouse, it's a separate location.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Mall of New Hampshire, Manchester. And then in Nashua at the Pheasant Lane Mall. So those four mall stores, and then we sell to a lot of mom and pops where you can get some of our merchandise and, you know, frame in. If you're running a charity, contact Jeff at newenglandpitcher.com and I'll help you with your charity auctions. I'll make sure you get stuff at cost or close to cost as I can and help you raise money. If an item doesn't get bid on, we take the item back so the charity doesn't lose out. So we try to help, you know, it's a win-win. It helps us with cash flow. It helps the charity raise money.
That's great.
Try to help the, you know, if we could help charity raise money, to me, it's a win-win.
Yeah. So one of the things you talked about Gronk, and one of the things that always amazed me back in the beginning of the Brady era was that, well, I should say it probably happened later, but, talk about the process of doing a Brady signing, because it was the old in Woburn. I forget what was the what was the name of that warehouse?
Sports Images.
Right.
Yeah.
So Brady would never tell you when he was going to be there and all that stuff. So the night before, you'd have to empty out that warehouse, and it would be filled with. And I saw it, so I know it would be filled with. When I say filled with Brady items, there wasn't one square inch of that area that didn't have something piled to the ceiling.
And he rented the places next door to him that were empty. They rented the empty spaces next to him to fill also.
And I didn't know that. So
it was insane. Yes.
So he would be there. What would you say? The average would be 7 in the morning till 7 at night.
Yeah. About 12 hour signings. Brady's were about 12 hours back then. Sign for 12 hours.
To know they would take everything out of there. Store that somewhere, bring everything in, and then move it out the next day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had to take a guess of all, so how many signings did you do with him there? Probably, I would say at least three, right?
Oh, more than three.
If you had to take
at least one a year.
If you had to take a guess for the total number of items signed and all the signings you did there.
Oh,
What do you think that number would be?
With Brady?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Well, yeah, I mean, he was probably signing 5,000 items a year, probably, back then. So 5,000 every year times 20 years, it's a million, you know.
Wow.
That's great. The first signing he did, it was with Bob Rose was a part of it also.
Yeah.
But I was a silent partner. I was just buying 200 8x10s.
if you could have bought five.
$23 each.
Holy man.
Whoa.
$23. That's
why didn't you buy 1,000 of them back then, Jim?
I wish I bought a million of them.
Well, what more expensive than right? that now?
I know. Yeah, a funny story. I have a lot of these funny stories.
That's fine. That's horrible.
People around the industry. If you remember Rob Ruggieri, he used to do the autographs for Rotman's. Rotman's.
Yep. Okay. I used to go there. Yep.
Did a lot of autograph signings. Well, Rob took care of them. So that he gets a call. Hey, can you do this guy, Tom Brady, an appearance with him? And he goes, oh, I can't really do it. It was like, just, it's short money, whatever. I'm just trying to get him out there to the public. This is now Brady's rookie year when he wasn't playing.
Right.
And he's like, tell him to call me back after he wins a couple Super Bowls. Rob never got another chance. That was it.
He must still regret that.
Because Brady was loyal. Brady, yeah. I mean, he TriStar and Bob Rose did, although Bob Rose kind of dropped out after a while, but he stayed loyal to TriStar all the way until he went to Tampa.
Right.
Wow. So, yeah, but back then he was like, no, Brady, I want this Bishop guy. Can we get the Bishop guy in?
then fast forward, and you probably bought into Mac Jones because you wanted to catch lightning in a bottle, and that didn't turn out so well.
Tell me about it. You make me cry. And the last time I did Mac was Mac hit lightning in a bottle. He, on his rookie year, it was the first week of December.
Yeah.
I think it was probably December 4th or 5th, if I can remember. It was a Friday. And that they were playing, the Patriots were playing Saturday night that week, Indy. Yeah. And the Patriots just took over the number one spot. They were, I think, 9-4 at the time. I could be wrong, but about that. And they took over the number one spot. And there was no Mac around before the signing, and you just couldn't get, everybody wanted something from Mac.
Yeah.
Get whatever. And, they were like, oh, he's got limited time. He's got a game tomorrow night, blah, blah, blah. So obviously I bought everything I could get my hands on.
Yep.
And, to say the least, what happened from there, got crushed on Saturday night. They pretty much lost out the rest of the year, got crushed.
Yeah. And then the next few years haven't been much better.
And then, Mac sales haven't come back since.
Well, I don't think after Sunday, I don't think you're going to see a spike in sales. So.
He's still 2-0 as a starter. Maybe he sucked as a relief pitcher, but I don't know. When you're 2-0, just let me see if he, 98% chance he's going to be terrible, but
hopefully you have just as much stock in Zappy that you do in Jones if he does do anything good.
Well, a month ago I was telling everyone that they need to sit Mac for 4 games, start Zappy for 4 games, and just let Mac watch.
Yep.
And then tell everybody that and say he's observing, he's going to come back, he's going to be our quarterback. But I thought he needed the time then.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know anymore what they're going to do. Although there's a bright future for the Patriots. I mean, we're going to get high draft picks next year, right? Every round we're going to be picking at the top of the round.
Yep. And we're going to pick somebody that should have been drafted in the 5th round from Rutgers.
A long snapper. Hey, the last time we picked in the top 10, we picked Richard Seymour, who gave us a Super Bowl that year. We were 5-11 that year. We got Richard Seymour, a Hall of Famer. He's played here for about 8 years, went to 4 Super Bowls, won 3 of them. And then we traded him for our left tackle, Nate Solder, that was a tackle here for 12 years, that won, what, three more Super Bowls.
All right, so that was a subtle plug. So while we're on the subject of Richard Seymour, this would be a good time to plug.
December 4th at New England Braintree. We have Richard Seymour, 7 p.m.
All right. That was a nice little plug.
Bill Belichick said back in the early 2000s, the best player on the team was Richard Seymour. And nobody disputed that. Nobody. Not Tom Brady. They said Richard Seymour was the best player on the team. And Brady wouldn't dispute that. Brady's the, you know, turned into the best player ever. But back then, Belichick didn't win with an elite quarterback that Brady became.
Yeah, he won with the Brady defense.
Became that elite quarterback. Yeah,
he was certainly a beast. In fact, you know, the people that want to come check him out in Braintree on Monday, the 4th of December, he's only one of only six players that are in both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's quite an exclusive list right there.
Wow, great information. Great.
Yep. If you're a Pats fan, Richard doesn't make a lot of appearances. So
no.
Make sure you get your tickets and come down and see him. So
yes, he's a tough get. Yes.
So Jeff, walk us through, you know, next week, you know, when we're taping this, you know, we're about a week out from Thanksgiving. People are going to start shopping. So
yes,
we'll kind of leave this year's team out a little bit. So in your opinion, out of the inventory that you have, what are some of the must-haves of a Patriots fan that you guys have to offer?
Well, the must-haves are the snow kick that started it all, Adam Vinatieri. That's I think the number one because it started it. That kick. Who knows who we would be? Ty Law's interception in the World Series in the Super Bowl, the first pick six. You know, I look at the moments, you know, that, you know, from the early on, if I was a collector, I would look for something from every Super Bowl, what you liked as a collector, what moment that, you know, you loved during that Super Bowl or that, I would try to get that signed.
Okay. But, so let me ask you this, because I'm with you. I like the moments. You love the James White and 51 and all that. But in 53, I couldn't decide for myself. What are your thoughts or what has been the collector's thoughts on Gronk's catch to lead to the touchdown or the interception by Gilmore?
I like Gronk's catch.
Yeah. Okay.
That was an unbelievable catch and he took a beat. They nailed him right after to hold on to the ball there.
Yeah.
And the photo we got, the photographer did a great job. You could see Gronk's eyes right on the football, you know, right there in the logo, you can see the Super Bowl logo on the football. And Gronk's zeroed in on it and, you know, he grabbed it and just, you know, and that made the game. That, right, the only touchdown.
Yeah.
And Gronk's last catch as a Patriot.
True.
There you go. That was last catch as a Patriot.
Historic in many ways.
Yes. Yeah. You know, with Tony Michel's touchdown.
As far as sales, what is the best sell? I mean, is it the snow kick that you would say from the Patriots? Is that still your best selling item?
Is
it Gronk?
Edelman's catch. Julian Edelman's catch in Super Bowl 51.
Yep.
The Butler interception.
Yep.
Something is a must have. People love Super Bowl 51. The Hightower strip sack.
Yep.
You know, you know, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. That's got the James White touchdown there in overtime. You got a few moments from that. There's a Brady scream. There's a Brady scream from that. That's
those are fantastic. Yeah.
On the higher end side, the Brady stuff, you know, we have a lot of high end Brady dual sign. We got a Brady Randy Moss dual sign, which, we just got over the last 6 months. Randy Moss is a tough autograph to get. You know, we have some other Brady's with Aaron Rodgers. You know, you just don't want to limit yourself to Patriots. You want to start bringing in some other players from other teams also into your club, you know, as you develop it.
Who's the best selling non-Patriot football player that you have?
Well, the younger crowd likes like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase sell very well. They just can't, you know, they love that. Burrow is Mahomes is, you know, a higher price, but he sells very well also. And obviously now Travis Kelce is.
Yeah.
For other reasons, Travis Kelce's selling.
Do you have dual signed Taylor and Kelce pieces?
No.
I'll tell you, you might want to get that. I know you have some Taylor Swift pitches, so
yeah.
Put a nice 8x10 of her autograph right beside Kelce.
Yeah, that would be, you know, the actually a gentleman that's going to be there with Seymour, his company has Travis Kelce.
Oh, really?
He did a signing yesterday, although it was sold out. And the whole signing was sold out.
Well, he's not stupid. He's definitely partnered with the right person to get some. He was already famous, but
yeah,
I think he's went to the next level now. So,
oh yeah, Travis Kelce, you know, his autograph definitely took right the rise.
After. Oh yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, he crosses spectrums now into pop culture beside you know, just sports.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we know him. I mean, obviously, we love sports. So, you know, anybody involved with sports, we're pretty much
all the Swifties know him now.
And now you get the Swifty crowd.
You know. Yeah, he's a poor man's Gronk.
Yeah, he's a Gronk that can't block.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, from my biased opinion, yep, I agree with you.
He's got great hands, but the you know Gronk's catch radius was off the charts.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing that they didn't realize when they were drafting. They were drafting Gronk for more of a blocker. And yeah. I think Belichick was kind of amazed with his catch radius when they grabbed him. Gronk caught everything. He was really amazing.
Yeah, in his prime, I would say he was better than Kelce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd rather have Gronk in his prime than any tight end.
I mean, one of his highlights is when he blocked that guy out of the club. You know, I forget his name right now, but that
it was on the Colts. Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, the Colts.
That wasn't Sergio Brown, was it? Was he on the Colts?
You know what? I think it was Sergio Brown. I think you're right.
Yeah, and he's in the news for other things right now.
Yeah, yeah, no, for not so good things. You're right.
Yeah, but Gronk, there was one game where JJ Watt was at the top of his game.
Yeah.
And they had Gronk blocking JJ Watt. And he did a great job, you know, a tight end going up against, you know, man to man on JJ Watt during that game. Most of the game they had Gronk blocking him.
Yeah.
He took him out of the game.
That's a tough ask, but yeah, wow.
Yeah. That's a tough ask by a tight end. It's like by any lineman, it's a tough ask.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's, you know, we've been blessed with a lot of winning. So,
yeah, we'll definitely get
a little bit losing that makes the winning taste better, you know?
Yeah.
Got to go through a little bit of town. I mean, Jesus, went 20 years without losing season.
Yeah.
But I mean, in your business, right? It's coming to be the holidays, like we said, shopping time. And there's definitely, I'm sure, some historic Patriots out there, but you've got the Celtics and Bruins that must be selling pretty well there. They're still.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We got teams winning in New England. It's not, you know, not just the Patriots. And we got plenty of Patriots moments that we won the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Enjoy those, you know, pick something up to remind you and put a smile on your face. You know, about the Patriots, and then you'd watch the Bruins and Celtics, and we carry that also.
Yeah, there you go.
Jason Tatum, we have it. We, you know, we're going to be doing Drew Holiday. We'll have some autographs. It's not going to be a public thing to send in or anything, but private, just to get merchandise.
Yeah.
Welcome into town. And
he's a good pickup for them.
Yeah, yeah. He does a lot of little things that, you know,
yeah.
He's like a Marcus Smart without the
drama.
Yeah. Without drama, throwing up the three pointer.
Yeah.
Know, the three pointer, bad timing, you know, it's like Marcus Smart was great at that. Just throwing one up when it's like, let the clock run down, move the ball around. He just throws 3-pointer up there.
Yeah.
And as good a defensive player as he was, Holiday's maybe better. I mean, did you see him guarding Embiid the other night and some of the centers? It's amazing.
Yeah. He could pass. He does. He's setting the picks. He's doing the little things. He's taking a step back to win Holiday. He could play. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be interesting watching him tonight because Jaylen Brown's out tonight, I believe.
Yeah, so I haven't heard.
Watching Holiday tonight, how he does with, I think Brown and Porzingis are out tonight.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Porzingis, I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as New England pitches, so we'll start wrapping this up. If anybody wants to, where can they find you on social media? And again, it's Jeff Sherman, co-owner of New England Pitcher. If you want to give your number out for where to call, if they have questions or email or your website.
Email's the best because I could respond at any time. If I'm busy, I'm on a call or I'm in. At a sign in or with an agent. So you email me, I'll try to get back to you whenever I can, but it's just Jeff, JFF at newenglandpitcher.com.
Okay, and what's the website for New England Pitcher?
newenglandpitcher.com.
All right.
Keeping it simple.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if, because we do have a lot of listeners that might be out of state that are Patriots fans, so they might want to.
We're on Facebook and all that, but, you know, I don't do it. Eric, our teammate, runs that for us, and he'll respond to you, and I'll respond to you if you any questions. You're looking for something, you want to take a tour of the warehouse. I'll invite you in when I'm there to walk around, look around.
Yep, we might have people that call from out of state that want to have something shipped, and you do that, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, we ship all over the country. We UPS picks up every day and delivers and picks up every day. Warehouse
gift cards. You get gift cards, all that
framing.
Right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, soup to nuts.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for taking some time to be with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And you did good. We didn't have any phone issues, right? Everything went well.
Yeah. Price didn't drop.
Yeah. So we'll have to have you on when there's a special event or a historic game or whatever. So we'll have you back on again.
Yeah, give me my opinion on Bill Belichick next time.
Oh, no, hey, we got a couple. All right, so what? We'll each end with a question. So, Dave, why don't you have your last question, then I'll have mine.
I'm always interested in, especially the newer athletes, like you said, they're a little different, and they make more money and all that kind of stuff, more demand on them with social media. But is there someone that's just been a great person to deal with that you really enjoyed having in?
You know who's on the Patriots right now that I'm unbelievably impressed with? And we've had him a few times, is Ramondre Stevenson.
Okay. Yeah.
Great, great. I mean, I call him a kid, he's 20 something years old.
Jeff, everybody's a kid to us now.
Unbelievable. And really?
I was going to say that was great because I got a chance to meet him when you had him there. And it was a picture where he was actually about my size. Usually I'm in there next to Christian Barmore and I look and.
Yeah.
I remember you had Wilfork in there one time and you had a special chair for him when he was still was still playing. It was so big.
Yeah, he's a lot smaller now, but
it's like a refrigerator. Refrigerator man.
All right, so you brought it up, so we're going to end the podcast with this. So I'll ask you a question and then you can give your opinion. So that's opening night next year. Who's coaching the Patriots and who's the quarterback? And then give your thoughts on Belichick. And we'll close with that.
Okay, I think we have a lot to look forward to, the Patriots. It has to be Bill Belichick. He gave us so much. He could coach until he's 105 for me anyway. I'm loyal. He gave me so much, so many winning. And Tom Brady could have played here until he was 100 also. He could have went out there with a walker and I would have watched him and I would have watched him lose every week and I wouldn't care.
You know the person that stood in the way of that, right?
Well, Belichick.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Well, we really don't know the whole story. We,
okay.
But, then they I mean, Belichick, how come you didn't have a, you know, a plan for quarterback after? Well, he did. He just didn't expect Tom Brady to be playing at 40.
Right.
I mean, he was making a plan. It just got blown up. He was like, oh, you know, because Brady was just that special that, you know, that changed everything about how he normally did things. It's like, okay, what do you do now? You got a 40-something-year-old quarterback. We have to transition to younger. What do you do? We've been picking last in the first round every year for 10 years now. You know, your draft capital is terrible. You lost the number one pick 1 year. You lost a couple other picks for Deflategate. And, you know, it just takes a toll on the team that losing that. And it's not only if you – everyone's like, Mac Jones, his rookie year, he was so – you know, why was he so good? And, well, look at the coaching staff. You had a full complement of coaching staff here, right?
Yep.
McDaniels didn't just leave. Like Belichick says, okay, hey, good luck to him. He leaves. But he takes 10 other coaches with him.
Right.
Yeah. You're taking all these other guys with. And now other teams have film on Mac Jones.
Right.
They know his arm's a little weaker. Okay, now if we press the guys, now Mac Jones has to step up and make those other throws, or they're going to keep doing what they're doing, and you're seeing the results.
You still want him to be the coach?
Belichick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who would you take right now if teams had even talent? If teams had even talent, you think the Miami coach is so good? He walked into a team that's loaded with talent. Loaded.
Okay, so this is going to be my argument. This is gonna be
look at San Francisco. Everybody's like, how much talent they have. Do you know in the last 4 years, San Francisco, 1 year, they won 4 games.
Yep.
In the last 4 years, another year, just not last year, the year before, they won 5 games the whole year. San Francisco, right. All that talent. That's how they develop the talent. That's how they bring it in. Now the Patriots have $100 million in cap space next year. All this draft capital. Now you're getting back Judon. You're getting back Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Your high pick this year who didn't play. You lost that.
You brought up a good point, though, Jeff. So
you know who's the player that everyone forgets that's also out?
Who?
Marcus Jones.
Yeah.
Didn't he score 3 touchdowns last year on offense?
Yep.
He was our punt returner and our slot corner this year. Out for the season also.
Right.
So you're missing your number one corner, Gonzalez. You're missing your slot corner, and you're missing your top pass rusher, and you're probably defensive leader.
All
coming back next year with $100 million in cap space, and $100 million cap space, and you're going to be picking at the top of every round.
He's squashing your negativity.
No, hold on. I got a big comeback right now.
Uh-oh.
So you brought up a good point. You know what? If the GM did a better job of providing talent the last 2 years, Belichick would be doing a good, might have had a better record. Oh, wait a minute. Bill Belichick is the GM. So he's responsible for the people that are on the field.
But didn't everyone say, oh, look at Belichick. You know, good thing Kraft made him take Mac Jones. I think Belichick is more flexible than the media makes out. I think Belichick had a few bad drafts towards the end of Brady's run here, or probably 16, 17. I don't have to look at it, you know, right now, but those years. And so I think Kraft went in, hey, we're going to bring in Groh and some guys. And I think Belichick said, sure, bring them in. And he stepped back. I think Belichick did step back a little bit and let these guys draft, and they were doing a decent job. They're doing, you know, that, but we still weren't picking high. The only, what do we have? 2 high picks since, and a high pick was number 15 was Mac Jones and Gonzalez. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's since Brady left. That's it. The other year we had 20 something was the pick.
Well, I respect your positive attitude, Jeff.
Well, look, Scott, look at the other teams around the league.
Yeah.
Show me a team that wasn't built through draft capital.
No, you're right.
They were all, you know, Buffalo, it took them 10 tries, but they finally got a quarterback with Josh Allen. And they're 5-5 this year. You tell me Belichick in Buffalo would be better than 5-5?
No, he would be better. I agree with you 100%.
You think Miami? You think you bring that Miami coach here? You think he's going to do better with this team?
No, he couldn't because he doesn't have the offensive talent.
Yes. Yeah, that's, and I mean, they got to bring, it's going to take time to build it, I think. Next year, I'd put Marcus Jones on offense too. Demario Douglas and Marcus Jones, that speed, because the speed and the slot, one of the wide, I would put the wide out two and a slot, those two guys right there. And then you bring in, you try to, free agency. I don't know what's out there. They need, obviously, they need a left tackle and to stabilize the offensive line. And then you go from there. That has to be number one. Yeah. And get a quarterback, obviously.
So what we have to do is we have to have you on the beginning of next year and see if your prediction of Belichick still being here. So who's their quarterback next year? You didn't answer that. So Belichick's going to be the coach. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Well, you're going to have to look around the league and see who's available through free agency and where our draft pick lies, So we don't want them winning. After the Buffalo game, I heard everybody, why did we win? We really don't want them winning right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we got the tank ball next week or after the bye week with the Giants.
That's why I keep Mac Jones in for the rest of the year because every game he's going to lose it at some point.
Yeah. I look at the silver line. Look at the Indy game. We outplayed Indy that game, but we lost. Good. I didn't want to win. I mean, what are we going to do? Then we're going to go back to picking number 20 again.
Yeah.
Well, Scott's not going to sleep well till next year because we had Corey Dillon on last week, and he told Scott that Bill Belichick's his man, and now you're saying you want him till he's 100. So guess what camp Scott's in.
We'll see who's right at the end.
Well, Scott, I look at Belichick from back in the, I'm showing my age now, but back when he was with the Giants, did you know Bill Parcells never won a playoff game without Bill Belichick on his staff?
No, hey, listen, I agree with you. And my thing with Belichick is, and it's just like Brady, I respect everything he's done, but time has passed him by now. He doesn't think offense is important. Never has. Part of the reason why Jones is self-destructed is because of what Belichick did to him last year. I mean, that's
why he's
that started it.
1 year of, last year the two guys weren't offensive coordinators, but they were both head coaches.
Yeah, they're both head coaches that ruined the organizations that they coached.
Well, right now, hey, the last 2 years, the two highest scoring games the Patriots have had the last 2 years.
Bailey Zappi. Somebody tells me that every time I see him. And you're right.
And you don't even give him a third shot. I don't care how bad he practiced. I don't care if he's the worst practice quarterback ever. I don't care if you bring him in the fourth quarter of games when you're getting slaughtered 35-7 and, everybody's giving up and you throw him in there and go, see, he can't do anything. I mean, come on.
A good coach would have that's Belichick.
Yeah. Not perfect. I definitely have my issues.
All right.
So what other signings you get coming up, Jeff?
When's the next Mac Jones signing?
Yes. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for taking time tonight. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to find that gift for any sports fan on your list, or if you're one of our listeners and no matter where you're located, give Jeff Sherman a call. NewEnglandPitcher.com. He gave out his email. You can email him. And hope you have a great holiday season, Jeff. And it was great having you on. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. You too. Talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Untold Patriot Stories with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher. Please follow us on whatever platform you download your podcasts and be sure to tell your friends.